guys, welcome to Bound to Brooklyn, episode 6. This is Siyan.
And I'm Lucia.
This episode, we're going to talk about dating in China and how that is different compared to the US. We will have Cai Wei as our guest. Cai Wei is a bilingual journalist, writer, and podcaster based in New York before joining Columbia for its master program in oral history. Cai Wei was a freelance journalist covering culture, tech, and their intersections on Chinese internet. Her work has appeared on publications such as South China Morning Post, SubChina, Rolling Stone.
Before we dive into our conversation with Cai Wei, we also want to acknowledge that this episode is coming out around Thanksgiving in the United States.
Yeah.
And I wanted to chat with you, Siyan, about, you know, your Thanksgiving experiences. Like, did you celebrate Thanksgiving prior to coming to the States? And do you currently celebrate Thanksgiving in Shanghai?
I don't think I'm celebrating this year in Shanghai, but I remember when I was in the US, in LA, while I was still school there, the International Student Center at UCLA would invite international students to host families. And that's my first taste of Thanksgiving in the US. And I really liked it. But that time, I also really missed my family that time. So I'm glad I'm home here. So Lucia, do you celebrate Thanksgiving?
Sort of, in the kind of funny yet non-traditional way, because I am quite international and my husband's Canadian. So he celebrates Canadian Thanksgiving in Canada. Canadian Thanksgiving happens in October. And so what we just do is just get together with our family and have a nice meal together. If we're in the States, sometimes we'll cook turkey, sometimes we'll get a chicken because the two of us can't eat a turkey together. Or we'll like have a Friendsgiving. So we'll like go over to a friend's place and we'll have like a big Thanksgiving meal together. And then other times when I'm back visiting my parents in Shanghai, we don't really celebrate Thanksgiving, so to speak. But again, like we'll kind of get together and like, I think my dad's favorite thing to do is just buy a duck for the day and like, yeah, we'll have a duck and hang out together as a family.
Yeah. Personally, I like the duck meat more than turkey. I remember once I bought duck for Thanksgiving too.
Yeah. I think it's just, I don't know. I think it's tastier.
So today's episode, we're going to talk about dating. Lucia, I know you're married, but do you remember any fun or bad dating stories?
No, I've only dated my husband my entire life. So
that's a lie.
I don't remember. All right. We're done here. So Siyan, what about you?
I mean, I want to hear about yours first, but yeah, I do remember a really bad dating story. It was like 2 years ago. I was still in New York and I matched with this guy. Later, we had dinner at this noodle place in East Village. But at the entire dinner, he kept asking me about how to write things in Chinese, like how to write noodle in Chinese, how to write his name in Chinese, how to write New York in Chinese. I was so annoyed. Like, the thing he can only see about me is my Chineseness. It's like I don't have any personality. So I just left the dinner. That's kind of a worst dating story I had.
You just got up halfway through dinner and just walked out?
Yeah, like I cannot stand with it.
Wow.
But like, I mean, it's okay, like to ask about my culture, my identity and stuff, but that should not be the only thing that he cares. He should at least ask me, what do I do? Or how long I've been here? Or what school I went to? Stuff like that. I found it not respectful. Just keep asking about my Chineseness.
I see. Yeah. I have other stories too, but that's for another time. that's for a time outside this podcast.
You mean the real dating stories?
The real dating story is where, you know, he got drunk on his birthday and I had to carry him home. Yeah, story. Hopefully all of you guys are enjoying your Thanksgiving. A quick brief announcement about a upcoming event from the 1990 Institute before we dive into this really fun topic and episode with Taiwei. So the 1990 Institute is hosting a panel called Beyond Shang-Chi, Masculinity, Beauty, and Asian American Representation, happening December 15th, 2021. It's from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So that's like 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern. So tune in for that event and you can hear from guests like Bing Chen and Kaiser Kuo. One last quick thing, be sure to follow our social media accounts, Bunt to Brooklyn, that's BUNDTOBROOKLYN on Instagram. And you can also email us at b2b@1990institute.com. Be sure to find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. All right, on to Taiwei.
So we are thrilled to have Taiwei as our guest today. Taiwei is a bilingual storyteller, journalist, writer, podcaster, and a contributor for the newsletter Chaoyang Chap. This episode, we will talk about dating in China and how it relates to Chinese masculinity, a topic she recently wrote about for Chaoyang Chap. Hi, Taiwei.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
Can you introduce yourself a little bit as well as the Chaoyang Chap?
Yeah, of course. So my name is Taiwei Chen. I'm currently in New York City, getting my master's degree at Columbia University, but I also freelance on the side as a writer. So Chaoyang Chap is an experimental newsletter that me and my friends participate in and started back in Chaoyang District, Beijing. And it's about like all the fun things on Chinese internet.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Chaoyang Chap, and I think it has become one of the most popular newsletter these days. Like almost anyone who is in the China-focused English media space have subscribed to that. It's really impressive.
Thank you. That's a high compliment.
Lucia, you also read Chaoyang Chap, right?
So I was introduced to it by you guys, and I actually started reading it, and I was just very astounded by the depth of all of the different articles and how nuanced all of the topics are. So I think I read the one on Asian male masculinity. I also read the one about Cha Bian Qiu or Zhou Bian Qiu. So like,
yes.
What is it called? Like
Cha Bian Qiu.
Cha Bian Qiu. Yeah. So yeah. In English, it's like
boundary ball.
Boundary ball. Yeah. Uh-huh. There you go. And I was surprised of like how you guys were comparing that to basically like Chinese people in media, and like it's usually a ping pong term, right? But you guys compared it to like how certain media is like choppy and till or like boundary ball, and it's like pushing the boundaries a little bit, or like it just kind of hits and then rolls off, and you technically get a point for that ball, and it kind of skirts government, right? And it like skirts a lot of the different, I guess, sentiments of like Chinese people who want to be able to comment on things that are happening in China. So I thought it was fascinating, and it really gave me an interesting lens into how you guys are seeing the world and your lens of China.
Yeah, like we strive to provide a narrative of China that's like outside of the Western media gaze. And like just to have fun, you know, to write about things we enjoy doing, we enjoy seeing, and like things we find joy in.
Mm-hmm. I like how you talk about like the Chinese media gaze, and it's kind of related to our topic today of like dating, because the common term is like the male gaze, right? Around like the perception of femininity and like women in media. So there's lots to talk about, especially in like Asian beauty standards versus American beauty standards and so many different things that we're going to touch on today.
Yeah, let's talk about dating in China. I think dating is so hard these days. I have been single for myself for a few years by now, and I don't even know if I really need a boyfriend, actually. Like Taiwei, what's your favorite dating app in China?
Wow, like we're starting strong. favorite dating app? Well, like I want to like second the sentiment Suyuan has, which is like dating is really hard these days. I find that to be not just a Chinese, but like global phenomenon, especially mm-hmm. for like the maybe like younger millennial, older Gen Z generation that we're like vaguely in, that like come of age with this like growing wealth gap and like this shattered dream of social mobility, cannot afford a home, like having problems adulting. Yeah, like this is like definitely a common theme that's like reappearing, not just like in our real life, but like in TV and literature too. Like in our 20s, feeling like a child and like cannot get our shit together.
I do have to tell you, it potentially gets better in your 30s. Maybe. But I hear you guys on, I can't imagine like having to date in this day and age with COVID, and also just, I guess, like plethora of choices and dating apps and like just having to churn through meeting new people and kind of also then trying to like stay afloat. For both of you guys, you're like freelance writers. So it's tough to kind of balance the energy and effort that you need to take in order to like go and out and date and then also like excel in your career. And then I always hear from Suyuan sometimes, she's like, oh, I just want to like focus on my career.
Yeah, it's so energy consuming. Like you need to swipe and then you need to casually talk for a few rounds and before initiating a drink somewhere, but it just costs so much time and I'm so tired.
Exactly, yeah. And like speaking of dating app, which I realized I didn't answer your question just now, I assume we're talking about Tinder now, because like the swipe, the iconic swipe feature, right? Like some other dating apps does not work this way. I think like
I didn't know that, by the way. I was not of the age of Tinder. So I was oh, all dating apps have the swipe feature.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So we get that. Lucia is a dating app virgin.
I don't know about virgin, but I'm definitely a Tinder virgin.
What did you use back in the days, Lucia?
They only had OkCupid back in the day. Like that was it.
Was it like 10 years ago or something?
Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
No, because I'm sorry, but I never.
Thanks for dating me, Suyuan. No pun intended.
Yeah,
sorry. What were you gonna say?
Yeah, I was gonna say like the problem was Tinder and like a series of like other dating apps. The problem is like especially when you're in a very urban space, big cities like Beijing, Shanghai, and like New York City. The problem is that like dating app will make you feel like you have infinite choices and people are inherently mm-hmm. disposable. And mm-hmm. I find that to be like the biggest challenge, like talking with someone. Like you swipe and like you end up getting matches. And if you're like a woman, Asian woman, you could like pretty easily get a bunch of different matches. And at some point they will all like initiate some kind of conversation. And to me, like the first date or like the, at least like the knowing each other phase, like what you say is like very repetitive to me. There are some like generic yes. questions that like people usually ask you, mm-hmm. like even patterns, like how you present yeah. yourself. Do you have siblings? Where did you go to school? When's your past relationship? What are you seeking here?
It's just wait, like people ask you about your past relationship. That's awkward.
sometimes they do, or you just like start outing yourself out of like pure embarrassment.
I recall a bit of that. It's so funny because like I used to talk to a lot of my guy friends who are single, and like a lot of times like everyone always says that like dating is a numbers game, and I always liken it to a sales funnel, right? You're just like you have to meet a whole bunch of people, and then like you're like, okay, are these people qualified buyers? And then like you have to be like, okay, well, of the qualified buyers, which ones are likely to like be a good fit? Everything I think in life is like dating. It's like finding a job. It's like finding an apartment to rent in a city. It's just about like opening up the top of the funnel and then working your way down.
Yeah, I was wondering before the era of dating apps, how did people usually meet?
at work, on the street, at the bar. Yeah. I have had some people like on subways talk to me.
Oh.
I've had, yeah, at the bar, usually friends of friends, friend parties, college.
So that's more like real life connections, right?
Yeah.
Actually sounds more exciting than the dating apps.
I personally, the first 2 weeks I got New York, I got 3 guys asking mm-hmm. my number on subway and coffee shops, random public spaces. And
wow, humble brag.
That has since stopped.
So Taiwei, this is like by the end of this podcast, I'm going to set you up with a friend. Like that's the premise of this podcast, right? Like we've established that.
Wow. Yeah. That's a
so there you go. There's another one.
Reality.
Don't tell Hua Yu.
Audio show.
Yeah. It's like this Chinese saying, right? They say it's Tao Hua Yu. It's like you have a lot of peach blossoms and that means that you have a lot of like people pursuing you.
Also like a fun idiom, Lan Tao Hua.
Mm-hmm. Please don't categorize my friend as a Lan Tao Hua before you meet him. Lan Tao Hua is like a rotten peach blossom. Usually it characterizes like not ideal candidates.
So Cai Wei, what do you think of the dating scene in big cities like Shanghai and Beijing in China? Like, are Chinese young people using more dating apps or just the international community here?
So to me, I think like, well, of course, I cannot speak for most or all Chinese, but I personally use mostly Tinder and I used Bumble for a while when I was in Beijing. And I would say it's definitely so a very niche thing that's mainly popular within like the more international progressive communities that are like mm-hmm. at least somewhat westernized in their thinking.
Yeah. How about 10/10 and Momo?
I would say I know of these two apps. They are known to be the more Chinese dating apps for like not too international people. Mm-hmm. So like if you're on Tinder, you are almost assumed to like at least know a little bit of English. Like that same goes for Bumble and Coffee Meets Bagel. And do we use Hinge in China?
I cannot open it. It doesn't work here.
Oh, it doesn't?
I tried.
We talk about dating resumes for a second, right? Like,
please,
I guess
please
like,
do.
You know, so just like the difference in like Chinese dating resumes versus like American dating resumes, right? Like you said in Hinge, like you can put in like all these different things. It's like probably like, oh, what's your like favorite pastime or like what's your favorite hobby or some of those things versus like in Shanghai or Renmin Guangchang, right? Like people swear there's this like massive meat market for parents who've basically listed their kids. And like when I went, this is like a few years back, but we went to see and basically it's just like this white sheet of paper with like Excel spaces or like Excel grids of like that person's name, the person's salary, their profession, their age, their height, and then like if they have a property. Car or house. Yeah, yes. Property. Isn't that crazy? Like that's like that's the dating profile in China. So like compared to like a Hinge where you kind of have to like even leave a voice memo and like talk about like what's your favorite cocktail.
Yeah, the Shanghai marriage market still exists these days. One of my friends went the other day. She's from Canada and she was amazed like how direct all those parents can be.
Yeah, Chinese people can be super, super direct, like super realistic when it comes to these things. Like Chinese parents are no joke. And like there's a show like called Indian Matchmaking, right? Like that was like quite popular.
Oh, yeah.
There should be a Chinese matchmaking. And like it would be,
I thought that was Fei Chen Wu Rao. Like
there actually is a show,
the dating show
by the TV station that made Zhejiang TV, I believe, that made Fei Chen Wu Rao. They had a new show called 中国十三星, which is like basically Chinese matchmaking. And how that works is that like the candidate has to like go through a parent's screening round before like actually speaking to the candidate themselves. Like, and parents like basically care about like the very transactional aspect of a marriage, like how much do you make, what kind of degree do you have, like your height and like your age? Do you have a car? Do you have a hukou?
yeah. And a hukou is like a place of residence, right? Like proof of residence.
Yeah. Yes. Like household registration that you have in the mm-hmm. city that determines a lot of things that you will essentially need in your future life, including like whether you can get a license plate in the city or like whether you can like send your kids to public schools in the city. So yeah. Super transactional.
I will never want to get on one of those shows. I will feel so embarrassed.
Why not? I feel like you'd be really popular.
No, it's just so brutal. Like, I feel like I'm just going to go on the stage and everybody's going to judge me.
It's brutal out here, girl.
Yeah.
Or everybody's going to be like, oh, like, we need to go fight for her, Qiang.
No. Yeah, I was also wondering the reason why the marriage market and also dating shows so popular in China. Does that has to do the stigma around dating apps, especially among the older generation?
I would say so. There definitely is like a very strong stigma that's attached to dating apps. Honestly, mm-hmm. like Chinese people in like the mainstream culture, they don't even call it like dating apps, like 约会软件. It's mostly like very stigmatized as like 约炮, which is like this like yeah. booty call apps.
And like that's basically Tinder.
Yeah.
There's like this stigma that like anyone on dating app is like purely looking for sex, which isn't necessarily a stigma when you like get down to it, because like why is like looking for sex a bad thing?
Yeah, yeah. But I will never tell my parents I'm on dating app. They will think
you're on a booty call app.
Yeah, they will think I'm crazy or 不正经, right? Not normal.
Yeah.
Yet I bet you your mom's like, 有朋友了吗? Like, do you have a boyfriend yet? Like my grandparents back in the day, I think this was like 10 years ago, they used to always be like, oh, 有朋友了吗? Like, do you have a boyfriend yet? And then after like I had a boyfriend, they're like, are you married yet? And then now they're just like, do you have kids?
They'll never stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, like whenever I go home these days, my grandma or my parents will keep asking me, like, don't focus too much on work. Like, put dating as one of the top priorities.
That is a problem that's non-existent in my family.
Wow, that's so lucky.
Which is like, yeah, well, Taiwei, that's because you're like 走桃花运, right? Like, all you do is just,
you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, like, their parents see this and they're just like, dude, okay. Like, I got nothing Relax. To worry about.
I'm literally not. I just like, I made it very clear with my parents that I like my dating life is none of their business. And I would never seek their approval for any guy that I date or be with. And I will not update them on like my dating life. And like, if I decide to get married someday, I will let them know.
you'll just send them a wedding invitation and be like, hey mom, dad, I'm getting married, welcome.
that's what I told yeah. them. And also I think like, because like my dad is slightly older than like the usual mm-hmm. dad age. My dad is like 74 now, and my brother's like 45 now, and already had like 2 kids, so like no pressure on me.
That's nice.
Yeah, so like the no pressure on being like a leftover woman or like a 剩女, which apparently Suyuan, you said, is not a thing anymore.
I mean, people realize it's not a really respectful term these days, but I'm sure the phenomenon still exists. Like, people still pretty judgmental for women who are in their 30s if they're not married yet.
Mm-hmm. I always see, so again, back to the Shanghai meat market, right? Like, I remember seeing these, like, they have one piece of paper for men and then they have another piece of paper for women. And like, all the women ones were like 34 woman, PhD in like physics or something, like PhD in something, something. And yeah like, it's, I feel like for those type of women, it must be difficult to like find someone who they like, you know, feel like they either jive with or like feel comfortable with. So it's tough.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to be a high achieving woman these days. I think there's like a running joke on Weibo a few years ago about how, like, if you're like a second tier woman, you go for first tier men. If you're a third tier woman, you go for a second tier man. And if you're like first tier woman, you go for the lowest tier men. Of course, like, this tier division is based on like your career achievement and like your intelligence, etc. Like those qualities that are conventionally perceived to be essential merits in like males instead of females. And that like circles back to the masculinity problem, how like to satisfy guys' egos, like girls always have to like play into that trope of like the guy being more
successful.
Yeah, like successful, but also like protective. And you have to like not just like work to make yourself better, but you have to like do the work to make your guy feel like he is doing more for you. So that's like an essential more than female dilemma.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel that? Like for, I guess, like, do you feel that for Chinese men versus like, I don't know if you guys have dated men from like other countries, right? Like, does it feel different? Suyuan's like, what can I say?
I'm thinking.
What am I allowed to say?
Yeah, trying to think here.
I haven't dated anyone outside my husband, so you know it's
wow. That's a humble brag too.
Is that a lie? It's a lie.
I don't know. Nobody knows.
It's a lie.
Anyway, back to you two.
Tai, weigh you first.
I would say like it's definitely a problem in masculinity itself, like more toxic manifestation of it that is like are evident all guys like in different countries and cultures. But from my personal experiences, there's definitely a lack of awareness of it in a lot of Chinese guys in their like behavior. There's like less glossing over it in Chinese guys due to the very direct, realistic nature of Chinese dating. I literally have like met someone and that's like not even, we're not even on a date. It's just like a random guy friend that told me, oh, 采薇你太强势了,会让男的觉得不好驾驭. I was like, what?
So he was saying that you were too strong, like headstrong.
I'm
like
too feisty.
A guy can't and a guy can't control you.
Yeah, I'm like, why would you have to control me? Is that okay to say? Like,
exactly.
Then you should be like, 你太弱势了，你无法驾驭人家,
you're too weak.
Yeah,
you cannot handle
me. It's not that you're too strong, it's that you're too weak.
Yeah, I agree with Tai Wei. Well, I think it's pretty common among guys from all countries, but I also agree, like, some Chinese guys are less aware of the things they comment on ladies sometimes, maybe because of this direct nature of dating things in China.
And you guys like talk about the direct, it's like transactional. I think we also talked about how dating doesn't really exist in China. There's no like, in America, it's like, you know, you go out for dinner or like you go out for drinks and then you date for 3 months and then you have this like really awkward conversation where it's like, are we not? Like, what is this? It's like define the relationship situation. Like, does that happen in China or is it kind of just like, okay, you fit my needs, you're good enough. Okay, like let's, you know, get together and get married.
I would say there isn't really that seeing each other face before you just like put it out there and like announce and made it clear that you're boyfriend and girlfriend. I would say like to me, like a 20 something living in New York City, if you're like boyfriend and girlfriend with someone like within my girlfriend's circle, that's like a big, big thing.
It's like, huge, right?
It's huge, like huge. Wow. Like you're that's like that's
serious.
Yeah, that's like going real. But like in Chinese culture is more like you have to be boyfriend and girlfriend first to date. to go to drinks together, to go to movies together, to
hold hands,
especially like to ethically, legitimately have sex.
Yeah, otherwise people will say you are 耍流氓 or something, right? Like, how to translate 耍流氓?
You're, I don't even know how to translate. You're like gangsta.
you are just messing around, I would say.
Yeah, messing around. I like that.
You're not being serious.
But also it can be easier in China in this case. Like, I like you, you like me, our profile match. So we just become boyfriend and girlfriend in 1 day or 2 days. Yeah, it's not a super serious thing compared to that in the US. People can be very easily going to a relationship.
It's like you have to be in a relationship before you like test each other out, versus like in the States, it's kind of like you test each other out and then it's like the, okay, well now what are we?
Exactly. So like before making it clear that like you're in a relationship, at least to me, like it's never like blatantly romantic. Mm-hmm. It's always like, oh, like skirting around like the key issues and like shy away from this and that, like, oh, are we holding hands? Are we not? Like, there's this like back and forth.
Yeah, I was also wondering, with the rising popularity of dating apps in China, will there be a dating phase in the future, you guys think? Like, because people apparently have to talk and have to talk on a dating app and ask each other out, right? And then they go on dates and stuff. Will that change the game?
I personally do not think so. Honestly, like I definitely do not think so. The culture would change over the night. And I think like Sliya and I like both live in Beijing, Shanghai, these first year relatively international cities, right? And sometimes like we can forget like what kind of a bubble that we live in. Yeah, this is like a fun story I'm gonna tell. So like I started using, I remember like I tweeted something about like, oh, Tinder is the new LinkedIn in China.
I remember.
And that's true. And I met a lot of like people that's similar, like in the profession of international media or like international consulting or like doing like some sort of cross culture, cross-nation works on the app. I personally found the first guest of my podcast episode there. Like,
did you date him?
only a guest for podcast.
Yes.
Not date.
Not really.
So you asked him out by saying, hey, I have a podcast. Do you want to have a podcast?
That's
a great pickup line, by the way.
That's not weird at all. And like, I've met like so many fellow journalists on the app. And like there are like, there are people who match me and just like, oh, hi, Saiwei, I follow you on Twitter. I read your work. I'm like, oh my God.
It happened to me too.
Right?
It happened to me too.
Yeah,
and then just we match and then somebody was like, oh, I follow you on Twitter. I was like, what?
Exactly. That's like, I'm far from Twitter famous, but like the fact that like someone...
You're Tinder famous, girl.
Tinder famous is a good word. And it's a very small circle. The point is that there really is this bubble. The more international Twitter and Instagram and Tinder using people... Wait, you need to have a VPN to access Tinder, right? Does that still...
I think so.
Does that still hold?
Yes, I think we still need VPNs.
Yeah, it's because only foreigners are able to access VPNs. And so therefore, a lot of people who've like, you know, had international experience are the ones who are like logging into the VPN and then getting into Tinder and then meeting Taiwei and telling them how wonderful her articles are. Let's kind of take a shift here onto this other topic that I think, Taiwei, you sort of touched upon, right? Like the story of three people hitting on you right off the bat when you came to New York and like asking you out, and how like I think Asian women are at the top of the dating poll in America. So there's this really interesting study that's been quoted a lot from OkCupid from 2009. So it's a little older. And I think there's been actually updated stats where Asian men have become a bit more desirable. But basically, the gist of the study states that Asian women are the most desirable across all races. And then Asian men are like the least desirable out of all races. And so if you were to think about it, right, like different races will try to date Asian women, but then like Asian men, like most races will choose not to date them. And like even at certain points, like especially folks that I know have talked about how like Asian women refuse to date Asian men. And like wanted to talk a bit about just, I guess, the desirability of men. And also like how, I guess, beauty standards have changed across both the US and in China, right? Like I think Asian men in the US has traditionally been portrayed in the media as like the geeky scrawny sidekick or like the kung fu guy like Bruce Lee. They're not really seen as a romantic male lead. Like they're just not seen in other roles outside of those like very few narrow roles for Asian American men. And on the flip side, in China, what I've started seeing is like with the rise of K-pop and like BTS and like men wearing makeup, right? Like there's a lot more men wearing makeup and caring about skincare. And I think recently Beijing announced that they would denounce feminine looking men in media, right? So in order to like curb this like masculinity crisis within Asia. So just would love to talk about, there's so many different things to unpeel there, but would love to talk about each of those.
Yeah. Wow. You just like, that was a multitude of things.
It's an onion. It's an onion. Sorry. I threw an onion at you.
It is. Wow. Where do I even start? Okay. So first of all, like the three people hitting on me thing, I think that's a stretch. I think I was just like...
I love that that's where you started.
That's where you started, okay? Yeah, I think I was just like walking around, having nothing to do and like giving off like, come be my white
Lost
savior.
Lost girl energy. Vibes.
Yeah. So yeah, I think like the desirability of Asian women, in like the discrepancy of like their desirability between like Asian male and female, it's definitely like a very American specific phenomenon, I would say. Mm-hmm. In China, it's very like self-explanatory because like most people, like 99% of people are Chinese and Asian. So like there's like really not that like diversity there. And I specifically want to talk about like the desirability of like ABC, which is like American born Chinese, where like the second or like third generation growing up in the West, Asian males, they tend to be portrayed in Chinese media as very attractive. And there's definitely like a romanticizing element of it in like a lot of reality shows, like how a guy that like came from the States, like speak fluent English, and like doesn't have like a lot of like the stereotypical masculinity traits, at least the toxic ones that like you can see in Chinese males. And they're usually like very, very like hippie and like very, I don't know, like just rich. And like it's definitely a TV trope.
I think that, so that's like the most important piece, the very rich.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel that, not rich part, but whenever on a TV show, whenever somebody is overseas Chinese, 华裔 or 华人, people will be like, wow, so people really looking forward to see anyone from like America.
Is it still like that? That's surprising because I thought things have changed. I think like the view of foreigners has like really changed in China over the last like decade, where initially like in the early 2000s or like back in like the 1990s when I used to go home, and now I'm dating myself, when I used to go back to Shanghai, when I told people, oh, I came from America, that everyone's like, oh my God, you come from America. When you see foreigners on the street, people want to like take pictures with them because they're so rare, right? And then in 2002, I think it's also like people were kind of proud to have a white boyfriend or like proud to have a foreigner boyfriend or girlfriend. And then now I remember like going back, it seems like pretty common, like people aren't super like into foreigners anymore. I don't know their views of ABCs, but it seems like a lot of Shanghainese people are like, they've gone to school internationally. And so there's like a big circle of folks who kind of get that. So I'm just curious if like it's still like that mentality where they're like, oh, it's like an ABC or like, you know, someone who came back from America, if that it still has that kind of glitz and glamour.
Yeah, I mean, in big cities, people are getting more used to seeing foreigners around. But I think in smaller, in lower tier cities, foreigner still got that treatment, like photos being taken and stuff. Also, the glamorization part, I believe it still exists nowadays. Even people will not be very obvious, but I do believe they still think it's a big deal still. What do you think, Taiwei?
Well, I think something Lucia talked about that I think is super interesting is the change of international school and like the subsequently like the international kids scene in first year Chinese cities has shifted significantly over the last decade. And I personally like know some folks that I've like graduated from international schools in Beijing and Shanghai in Guangzhou recently. And like, there's like amazing diversity there. Like there's this guy who visits like the first year elite private schools in Beijing and Shanghai. And like, it's like a foreigner. And like, he does these like random street interview with the kids that like walk out of the school and ask like, oh, what is your dream school? And like on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you like rate your English writing or like speaking capabilities? And like, those are truly amazing. All these kids are like biracial or in like the buzzword third culture kid. They like grew up in a bunch of different places. They have very high aspirations and like very elite hobbies. So that's something like that's definitely non-existent 10 years ago, even like in the big cities. But like, I think that the strangeness of like foreign faces definitely still exists in lower tier cities. Like the city I'm from Xiangyang, Hubei, which is like a third tier city. And it's very rare to have even like foreign English teachers. Okay, there's probably like 10 white people in my city, and like all of them are English teachers. And like 10 other non-white foreign people who are all like study abroad students at like the only better university we have. So that's a stretch.
That was my school in 2002. So same.
Right? Like that's a stretch, but like you get the gist. So I remember when I was young, a friend of my family, their daughter, who's like 20 something at the time, married a white English teacher at the time, and it made local news.
Headlines. That's headlines.
Well, not a headline, but like it's definitely like a news
newsworthy.
Very newsworthy matter. And like
breaking news.
Yeah, it's a white English teacher. It always start with an English teacher, right? Like,
oh my god. There are so many English teachers nowadays in Shanghai too.
That's like a I say this? Like, I don't know.
You can.
Please cut this out. Like, English teachers, like,
I agree. I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, as a Chinese,
I will never date an English teacher.
I know, right? Like, there are, like, two kinds of foreigners in China. English teachers and the others. Like.
Yeah, you don't want to get.
You don't want to date.
Please don't let my English teachers hear this. There's also a history teacher that was pretty good looking in our school.
Yeah, I remember last time I had this date with an English teacher. I don't know why I went to see him, but I was like, oh, so what do you do? And he was like, I'm an English teacher.
But did you walk away?
Like, no, I was silent for a few seconds and he kept continuing. He said, oh, Don't stereotype English teachers. I'm very fun. I'm smart. Just don't judge me because of I'm English teacher. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So there is this genre of self-introduction on like China Tinder that like, I'm not an English teacher, which is like super fun to me. Like the guys have to like clarify that they are not an English teacher. And there are like some common tropes.
Yeah, like some people's mind, English teacher, a group of people who go to bars, drinks all night, even on a Monday, maybe. That's a lot of people's perception.
Yo, like teaching kids is hard, man. Like being an English teacher is difficult to like a group of foreigners. Like, are you kidding me? Like, yeah, I feel like you need to wash down those sorrows with a bottle of wine tonight.
Definitely. Like, I think like we give too little credit for English teachers. Like they are like how the whole exchange, culture exchange thing start, right? Like they are, yeah, they're the pioneers. They are.
That's how we all learned English. Don't crap on your English teacher, man.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of English teachers, do you find that profession to be particularly masculine? Speaking of masculinity.
Okay, I need to chime in here. So I find like there are two specific genre of guys on New York Tinder or Hinge. More evident like on Hinge probably because like it's more supposedly elite, I would say, finance bros and tech bros.
Well, that's because those are the only two you're finding. What about like the, yeah, what about the artsy dude in New York? Like there's the artsy guys, there's
in Brooklyn,
like, the hippie guys, there's like, there's definitely the tech bros and the finance dudes, but then you also have a pocket of lawyers and you have a pocket of doctors and you got like another pocket of like actors, Broadway folks. Pretty diverse.
It is. I guess like it's just the tech bros and finance bros that really like to put their job description in their profile then.
Oh, you can't blame them. Like people, like, I mean,
people that's in private equity always like feel the need to put that out, like to distinguish themselves from the other finance bros.
I think it's called peacocking. You know how
exactly,
like,
yeah.
It, you know how like guys have to kind of like show off, like in the Chinese meat markets, it's like, I make, I don't know, like 200K a month, right? Like they're like, oh, that's like my peacocking. And then like the PE people are like, well, I work in PE and I work at KKR.
That's the New York meat market.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Well, this has been fun. Anything else that you feel like, Taiwei, you want to like touch on or you want to talk about any like new projects that you want to talk about that, you know, you want our listeners to be aware of?
I feel like very lazy since I started school and like not really been writing, but like I still write bilingually. I will have a new article on Chow Young Trap coming out about, well, this time not like masculinity related, but like it would be about like this clique of public intellectuals and scholars and young academics that were very active circa like 2016, and like how that group chat has like changed the landscape of like China's US watching scene. So and I'll have like a Chinese article about China's rural village vloggers coming out very soon. So
That's exciting.
That's so exciting. Also, Taiwei, are you still doing your podcast Redirect these days?
I hope I will have time, but like I think so. It's like it's becoming like this secret ghost project of mine now, since like I haven't like posted a new episode in months. But yeah, it will.
Anyway, the first guy you met on Tinder is going to be very disappointed in you that his episode is now a ghost episode.
He's not, like that episode still got the most listens. I think like he's really proud of himself. He's happily in a relationship now, obviously.
That's okay. It's not like we're saying anything. We just, he went on your podcast, right? It's just a dude who went on your podcast.
Exactly. Like recording podcasts as a first date, why not? People should do
that's
it all the time.
That's the perfect way. I think so too. I
agree. Oh my God. Is this
maybe
a date?
That's a good idea that we can, this is a date.
Is this
a girl date.
This is a trap.
It's a date and a trap. This is a perfect way to end this episode. All right. Well, Taiwei, thank you so much for being on Bunt Brooklyn. It was really great to hear your stories and thanks for sharing all your creative juices with us.
Yeah, thanks so much, Taiwei. We're so honored to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.